accepting of it. And I believe we have that. So we shouldn't permit a minority that are sick from their own medicine to make us feel that we are not accepted in America. We are accepted in America. There will always be a few people, a minority in society, that will be different, that will not be able to live with themselves because of their misery, and they will try to make life miserable for others. And since we are an easy target, they seem to take out all their miseries on us. But we shouldn't be disturbed by that. We should rejoice in the fact that America has made great progress in terms of human education. And America today is in a position to be more Christian perhaps than it ever has been in its history. Many of us have questioned the right of the white man to claim that he's a Christian because of his past behavior. But today, we can recall the courageous men in our government, and especially those courageous men from the private sector, who didn't only embrace Dr. King and others who struggled to get to win permission for us to enter the mainstream, but they walked with Dr. King and they took risks with Dr. King. And they were not all Democrats either. Some of them were Republicans. So we should not let our heads drop. We should have faith and should know that the hand of time, divine providence, is always working against the oppressor. We don't give up and take advantage of what opportunity that is available to us to strengthen ourselves, make ourselves more fit for the challenges of life, then we won't fail. We have to win. Another author mentioned the circumstances that sometimes force or hold two groups together and points out the economic circumstance that brought blacks from Africa and whites from Europe into a relationship in this country. And I do believe that we were not brought here for any other reason than to serve the economic business aspirations of the white race, but whom we got here, from that point, other things began to develop. And gradually, they had to accept that these are human beings, just like we are, and accommodate them by allowing them to come into the life of American people. But I repeat, I'm convinced the reason for bringing us over here was purely sorrow he had played. Now, any white man, a white woman, a child, for that matter, that thinks they did us a favor, crazy. They're absolutely insane. To take a people from their homeland, from their association and identity with their past, from family roots, from family life, to do that is too bigger injury to the person to be paid by whatever is done after that. There's no way for this world to do anything to pay us back for what it has done. That's a debt that you'll never be able to pay back. You can't pay it back. But you can change. And many whites have changed. I just hope the rest of them can change. They have changed. And once people change, then human nature works automatically to accept the new reality. We can't fit back. We just have to create it. White race has also been invaded by those who helped them design the kind of divinity, mythological divinity, and really the injury done to their psyche, their mind, it's too much for the perpetrator to pay for. They can never pay for it. Too much. In the book called The Mask of Oriental Mythology by Joseph Campbell, we find the beginning of the idea that later came to be the white racism, white supremacy. In the religious teachings of the Davidian people of the Far East India, we find a language very similar to that we find in Genesis, in the Old Testament Bible, the Genesis, about people being separated one from the other, one being the bad people, another being the good people. The Bible talks about the separation of light from darkness, water from water, light from darkness. The Davidic scripture talks about the separation of people of the light from people of the darkness, from people of the darkness. And the so-called Arianism or Arian racism got started because of that teaching. The lighter race from the north saw an opportunity to turn the language of the religion of the people against them. Before, it was dark people, it was dark Indians who believed in that religion. And the language was no problem for them until outsiders interpreted for them and identified the black-skinned Indians as the people of the dark. And the lighter people from the north, who later called themselves the Aryans, as the people of the light. That's when the problem began. So I've already quoted here, author, who points to the problem of identity with the self, with self. Man has to have an idea, for identifying with self. That is a strong need in a human being, and he will go on, go on, go on, as the author said, taking one image after another. As the author said, even if it means wearing a cowboy shirt, or standing on a pillow in the desert. He has to have some comparable image or identity for himself. And it has to be something that he himself took on. Man is not comfortable with identities that are imposed upon him. He's only comfortable with identities that he himself discovered of himself. You see? So this self-discovery process is very much necessary for the human being. In my study of the scriptures, I find that the language, the spiritual language of scripture, has been applied wrongly to people here in America, here in Western society, just as it was done in India. And the same class system that we see in India, which is disappearing, thank God, we saw come to America, come to the West. Simply because there are people who misinterpret Scripture. They don't have any insight into Scripture. They don't have any spiritual guidance. God is not guiding them. And they come with their non-religious minds, and they try to interpret what was revealed to religious personalities. They make a great mistake. And I believe many of them later on discovered that they made a great mistake, but it worked so well for them, they persisted in it. I'm talking about white supremacy, the idea of white supremacy. I don't want to cause any bad feelings here today, but I was watching television, and the reverend, the preacher, who's out here in, what's his name, Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he was addressing leaders of the Egyptian government. And I have always had respect for him, I guess because my father gave him so much attention. My father was turned Herbert Armstrong on. He's been preaching, I guess, all my life, as long as I've been living, and I'm almost a half a century. And my father turned him on and listened to him. And my father would say, "That devil got something." You know, he called all white folks devils. He said, "That devil got something." And anyway, I was watching the television, and he was addressing the Egyptians as though they were stupid, as though they didn't have any religious understanding. He didn't know that Egypt may be the mother thing of religious understanding. But he was talking to them like they were little children in religious knowledge and inviting them to accept Jesus Christ. And he was careful, though he knew that they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God, like many Unitarians don't, and like many other religious Christian denominations don't believe he's God. So they knew that the Muslims also didn't believe, don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, but he was trying to introduce him as a special prophet that had no match, no other prophet like him. And he was saying that Jews, and I don't know how he got the nerve to say this. He looked like he felt very uncomfortable saying this. I think maybe somebody put him up to do it, and it wasn't his. I don't think he even really wanted to do it. But anyway, he started talking about the Jews and the European man being close relatives, and all the other people on the other side, that Isaac, descendants to Isaac. And those descendants are the European white and the Jews. He said, now, don't many of my own kind, my own race, know this. But I know this. And then he let it out. A great citizen. He said, the Christ Jesus belongs to the Isaac line. And the European belongs to the Isaac line. And the Jew belongs to the Isaac line. And I forget his remark, but what he meant that all the blacks and all the others belong to another line. He was separating the people of earth. He was giving divinity by suggestion to whites and to Jews. Why is that necessary? Does a white man need that kind of idea in his head to make him feel comfortable with himself? Does he need to feel that he belongs to a divine family and that everybody else outside of that family? If he does, he's in better shape than I thought he was. Now, I said a white man, because most white men think that the ideas are talking. It wasn't, I think, there wasn't hardly a week that passed before I heard another preacher that I had a lot of respect for. In fact, I enjoy him anymore. He's a man of great grammar. What is his name? I can't recall it now. A man traveling fast. He's the one that comes on television and he speaks with such grammar. He's so articulate. Shuler. Thank you. Dr. Shuler. Yes, Dr. Shuler. A beautiful church, you know, it's like he talks, like he's speaking from heaven, from the throne of heaven. He comes on TV and he's too dramatic. Yes, Dr. Shuler. This is Dr. Shuler. Dr. Shuler mentioned something and I said, what is this? He said that he loves the scientists, that he supports all the scientists, meaning those all over the world, don't have to be an American scientist. And he said that, but if they go into the role, or slip into the role, I'm not certain, I think he maybe said slip into the role of a white God, they'll be making a mistake. That was a white God. When did God get white? So somebody has a problem with racial identity in religion. And it's not us. So we started a campaign to remove all racial effects from the worship of God. And we have some courageous people in our community. Gone to churches, after pleading with them for weeks or sometimes months, let's have a discussion, let's discuss the problem of racial images in the worship of God. For the Bible, preacher, for the Bible, verse. Preacher, knows the scripture, he knows it. No reply. Leads you to reply. You invite a discussion, invite us into a dialogue. When they don't, our courageous people go there and they demonstrate, they tear a sign, and they demonstrate against that church. Now, many of us demonstrated. Not the Muslims, we had a different policy. We had a different strategy. On the United States, we had a different strategy. But many of the African Americans and others demonstrated to get the gym profile to come down. In my conclusion, no demonstration was more meaningful than us demonstrating to get all racial expression out of business and out of work. Because this is the secret base that racism is built on, and whenever they want to fire up the sentiments and the white race for the divine image so that they can exercise their authority with no conscience, with no one to answer to. Don't you know if I believe I'm God? Who do I have to answer to? And even he was a dangerous figure, he doesn't have someone to answer to. So there's no demonstration more meaningful than this one, and that is to demonstrate against racial effect in the worship of God. If any of you have pictures of demons, and you identify that as God, you're wrong. You should get rid of it. In fact, these likenesses they call demons, they are nothing but pictures out of the imagination of the artist. And why should a Chinese be looking at a white lord? Why should a Hawaiian be looking at a white lord? It's wrong. God says to us in our holy book, let us come to terms that respect us equally. The condition is this, that we raise no law up from among ourselves. For if any race claims that one in their image is God, that race is in a position to be moralized and weakened the spirit and mind of the other races that are not in that image. And I'm sure that many of us are still in churches not because we're good people. You know, there's a whole lot of bad people in these churches. I believe that many of us, African Americans, are still in the churches because we can't live without a white Lord. And the church gives us the image of the white Jesus as the white Lord. I'm not against Jesus. I love Jesus Christ. I'm a Muslim. All Muslims love Jesus Christ. If they got any sense. But Jesus himself, when he was here, he would join the brothers in prayer and demonstrate against racial hindrance.